Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Colleen Brackovich is here, one of the managing partners of Zachariah Brown. Carl Zachariah is a little busy today, he and his lovely bride, because his daughter is about to become a bride, and we will be celebrating that later tonight at the beautiful William Penn in downtown Pittsburgh. So if I'm a little groggy tomorrow, you can blame it on the counselor, attorney Carl Zachariah. But familiar family they are, so I'll be there. But Colleen, the brilliant mind that she is when it comes to law, had a very good idea to kind of tie in with the nuptials today. That is something that all parents and grandparents are going to have to tell their children about, especially when it comes down to saying, I do. So good afternoon, and where would you like to go, counselor?
Good afternoon, Rob. Well, I thought in honor of Gabby and Ray's wedding today, maybe although we talk often about elder law and what happens when we get older, and I'd still love to take any questions that anybody has with regard to elder law today, I thought we could start by talking a little bit about estate planning for younger folks. I think that we sometimes think of getting wills or powers of attorney done as something that we do when we get older. But as young folks start to leave the nest and get married, they actually do have some significant estate planning needs that they may not think about. In the event that somebody would happen to pass away and not have a will, there are laws, they're called the laws of intestacy, because when you die without a will, it's called dying intestate. And the laws of intestacy say who gets your stuff. And what people are often surprised to find out is that when they are young and married, if they pass away and do not have a will, that their spouse does not automatically get everything that they have. Okay? And this is significant because in the event that you pass away without a will and you have a spouse and no children, but you still have your parents and your spouse have to split. Okay? So the first $30,000 plus one half of the balance goes to your spouse, and the other half goes to your parents. And that might not be what people are expecting. They think, this is my spouse, I pass away, everything's going to go to them. And they unfortunately find out the hard way that, nope, that means that the assets are passing to parents. And even if those parents are, you know, good people and say, oh, nope, I'm going to give it all back to my deceased child's spouse, there's still Pennsylvania inheritance taxes to be paid when a parent inherits from a child. So although the money is going back, it's not as much as it was when we started, okay? Because there's no inheritance tax between spouses, so that's a 0% tax rate. But a parent inheriting from a child pays 4.5% Pennsylvania inheritance tax. So if you are young and you are getting married, you need a will.
Everyone needs a will. So listen, because she started that topic of conversation, we would like to hear from all of you out there who may be questioning your will, moving forward, maybe updating at will for the first time. And if you are wondering who exactly will get your stuff, and if you have done everything that you were supposed to do, or maybe you're questioning it, I want you to call us right now. We'll dedicate a little bit of the show to wills today. The number to be on the program, and all of them are open right now, so you'll have immediate access to have a chance to talk to one of the best. She is attorney Colleen Brackovich from the best elder law firm, I believe, in this region, PittsburghElderLaw.com, Zachariah Brown. Our number is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Look, I think the reason people, we've talked about before, Colleen, don't want to talk about wills, because it talks about the end of life.
Right.
And the thing that people don't understand, even though when you are 18 and 20 and 25, you feel as though you're invincible, sometimes that life cycle goes in reverse, and young people find themselves in a precocious situation. Spouse dies, disability, you know, maybe the older parents have already gone, and now you're that lone member of the family, and you're making decisions on your own stuff and your parents' stuff. So you have to be prepared, and the best starting point is always a will.
Absolutely. So now, wills are very important, as we've talked about before. We also have to pay attention to our beneficiary designations, okay? So the wills are only going to cover what is in our name alone that doesn't have a joint owner and doesn't have a beneficiary. So if we're talking about our young folks again, you know, you go out and you start your first job and you have to put a beneficiary on your retirement account. You have to put a beneficiary on your maybe employer-sponsored life insurance. You're putting joint owners on things, and you may be picking your parents, okay? And we talk about this in terms of when our parents get older and what happens to them, and now our assets are tied up with them, and we have to pay inheritance taxes on our own money that our parents have a joint ownership on. But conversely, if we don't update those beneficiary designations, same thing can happen. That life insurance maybe is going to our parents instead of to our spouse. So we want to make sure that we go back and update those as well as we progress in life and get married and start a family with someone, that we want to update those beneficiary designations as well.
All right, getting some calls. We'd love to hear from you, 866-391-1020. Here's another question. How much life insurance should one person own? How do you base what you should own? Or is it whatever you feel comfortable with?
Yeah, I think everybody's comfort level is going to be a little bit different. And I think everybody's goals with life insurance are going to be different. Now, we don't give financial advice on this program, so check with your financial advisor. But really, life insurance is there to replace if you were not living. So first off, you know, people use it for funeral expenses. So you may get a certain amount of money figuring what the average funeral. I think the Department of Public Welfare says the average cost of a funeral in Allegheny County is a little over $20,500, $20,700. So, you might be putting money away for funeral expenses. You could be putting money away to replace your income. Okay, so if somebody is dependent on your income, you have a spouse, you have a parent, you have a child who is dependent on your income and you're going to work, well, what's it going to cost to replace you not bringing in an income for however many years of their life that would be? So that could be really significant, and you might need, want to get a lot of insurance to cover that.
All right, so 866-391-1020. Let's talk some elder law with our first guest. It's Mary in North Versailles for attorney Colleen Brackovich from Zachariah Brown. Hi, Mary. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Hey, thank you for taking my call this afternoon. My question was, if there's a young married couple, and should one of the young spouses pass away, are the parents then, if there's only debt, there's no assets, there's no wealth, does that mean the parents have to share in the debt that's owed if they're entitled to, if there's no will, if they're entitled to a portion of the assets? Do they also own the debt then as well?
That's a great question, Mary. So You don't. Okay. So debts belong to the decedent. Okay. And those left behind are only responsible to pay the debts to the extent the estate has the ability to pay them. So what that means is, first, it's going to be limited to just our probate estate assets. So the things that pass under the will. So those were the assets in the decedent's name alone that didn't have a joint owner and didn't have a beneficiary. So that's the pool of money that we're starting with. And then there's a priority of things that get paid. So funeral expenses, cost of the administration of the estate, okay? Those come off the top first. And then what's left over is the pot of money that you have available to pay debts. So if those debts do not get satisfied, it's what they would call an insolvent estate, and they just don't get paid. Now, as the personal representative or administrator for that estate, you have a responsibility to make sure you pay people in the right priority order and the right percentages, but that is the extent of your liability. You do not need to dip into your own pocket to pay the debts of somebody who has passed away. The only time that's different is if you have perhaps co-signed. So if you are a co-signer on a loan or a joint owner on a credit card, then you do have responsibility for those debts as yours. But if they were in the decedent's name alone, and the decedent does not have any money, those debts just go unpaid.
Okay, thank you so much. That was a very interesting topic to me, just as, you know, just curious about it.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
You know, being a co-signer on any loan, you need to realize that something could go wrong and you could be held accountable. So people need to enter that with some caution.
Right. Yes. I mean, and even it's not even our younger folks, but we have, you know, clients who are passing away in their 80s. And we run into the same situation where maybe most of the assets actually were jointly held between husband and wife. And, you know, wife has that one credit card out there and it's in her name alone and she passed away. The husband does not have to use the joint assets to satisfy that.
All right, we're going to go to Anthony in Wilmington when we get back. Colleen Brackovich, attorney at law, managing partner Zachariah Brown, 866-391-1020. Talking wills, power of attorney, estate planning, and more. Trust, whatever you need to discuss when it comes to elder law, call us right now. Lines available. And yeah, who will get my stuff? Who will get your stuff? Are you satisfied? Are you comfortable with the way the game plan is proceeding? Or maybe do you have some questions? You need some legal advice. Call us, 866-391-1020. All right, let me throw one more thing into the equation here. Gifting. If you have got some questions about gifting, attorney Colleen Brackovich can handle that. Managing partner Zachariah Brown, Christine Brown Murphy, and, of course, Carl Zachariah. Great attorneys, Justin Ellis, Ben Urso. They're here with us all the time talking about things that matter to all of you when it comes to elder law. Here's Anthony in Wilmington. You're on KDKA. How are you, Anthony?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What's your question?
Two-part question. First part is, when I die, I have a will. I'm leaving all my money to my children. Now, do they have to pay a 4.5% tax on that, plus state and federal? And my second question is, my wife's aunt tells us we are in her will. And when she passes, if she leaves us a lot of money, do we have to pay inheritance tax, plus state and federal on that money?
All right, great question. So kind of the answer is going to be kind of the same to both. So we live in Pennsylvania. We are fortunate enough to live in one of the few states in this country that has a state inheritance tax, and there's no threshold at which we don't pay it. Okay, so some states that have inheritance tax, it's only after $1 million. If you die in Pennsylvania with $50, the state of PA wants their cut. Okay, so now that is a state inheritance tax, which is separate from the IRS. So the IRS does have a federal estate tax as well. However, as time has gone on, the threshold at which you start paying it has gotten further and further out there. So it's now up over $12 million before you have to start paying the federal estate tax. So most of us aren't going to need to worry about that. Okay. But we do pay the Pennsylvania inheritance tax. Now, as far as federal income taxes or state income taxes, it's going to come down to the nature of the asset that you're inheriting, okay? So a lot of folks, again, we don't give any sort of investment advice here, but we just see from our clients coming in, a lot of folks have some investments in tax-deferred annuities or retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, okay? So anything that the decedent did not pay income taxes on during their lifetime, at the time it comes out to you as you're inheriting it, the income taxes come due. So as a general rule of thumb, there is no income tax on your inheritance, either federal or state. However, by the nature of the type of asset that you're inheriting, if the decedent did not pay income taxes on it during their lifetime, then you are going to pay If they didn't pay the income taxes on it during their lifetime, you're going to pay the income taxes on it at the time that you cash it in. Now, under the Secure Act of 2020, there's some rules with retirement accounts now that you have some time. You can roll the retirement accounts over for yourself and then over the next 10 years, take it out to kind of stretch out that time period where you're paying the income taxes. There's some other exceptions for people who are minors or disabled individuals that they can stretch it out longer. Same with spouses. And sometimes those tax-deferred annuities do give you the option to roll them over into accounts for yourself, maybe for 3 years or 5 years, and take that money out over time. But as a general rule of thumb, there's no income tax liability on your inheritance as a whole. It would just be based on the nature of the investments. Okay. The other nice thing about inheriting assets from somebody is that you get an adjusted cost basis in it. They call it a step up in tax basis. So for things like stocks or real estate that has appreciated over time, when you inherit it, you get a basis adjusted to what the current fair market value is. So that'll actually reduce some of the income tax liability if you sell them shortly thereafter. The rates, because you may be wondering, so the inheritance tax rates for Pennsylvania, 0% to a spouse, okay, 4.5% to a child, 4.5% to a parent, so lineal descendant, child, grandchild, parent, okay. There are some exceptions if they are minor children, if a minor child dies, or if the parent of a minor child dies. Those are 0% tax rates, but 4.5%. Brothers and sisters, 12%, nieces, nephews, cousins, friends, neighbors, 15%. So for what you would be inheriting if your children would pass away, it would be 4.5%. What you would be inheriting from your wife's aunt, it would be 15%. I keep saying 12, 15%, for an aunt.
Okay. Now, how about if all my money's tied up in the stock market?
So if all your money is tied up in the stock market, there'll be a date of death valuation, okay? So the balance in the account on the date of death will determine the amount of Pennsylvania inheritance tax to be paid. But the income taxes are not going to come due until the money is actually pulled out of the account. And as I said, since when you inherit that account, you get an adjusted basis in it. So you'll be starting from the date of death going forward as far as you're calculating your gains or losses.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Again, if you want to join us today with any kind of elder law question, now would be a good time. 866-391-1020. They have offices in McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, and for you snowbirds who I'm sure, if not there already, will be there very soon in Florida, Bradenton and Pompano Beach. Carl actually is licensed to practice there. 724-942-6200. 724-942-6200. When you look at the lump sum of everything, whether it's your brick and mortar, your house, your investments, IRAs, things of that nature, dividends, stocks. What are we looking at as far as the overall picture of percentage in the way of taxes that are going to have to be paid out? What can you expect from your assets? What's the normal going rate as far as that percentage of that lump sum?
Well, from an income tax perspective, it's going to be determined by how much your other income is. So if you're inheriting assets that you have to pay income taxes on, you have to look at what your other sources of income are. Do you have wages? Do you have other investment income? And that's where sometimes, again, outside the scope of the type of work or advice that we do, but you want to work with your tax professional or your financial advisor about, does it make sense to maybe kind of punt this down the road a few years after I'm retired and then recognize the income so that I'm not making my working income be taxed at a higher rate as well.
All right. So 866-391-1020, getting some more calls in the loop here. Christine is going to be doing something.
Yes. So I wanted to talk about that coming up this next Wednesday, November 30th at 6 p.m. at the Upper St. Clair Library. Estate planning with an elder law focus, everything you need to know. presented by Christine Brown Murphy. You can RSVP to that event by contacting the Upper St. Clair Library directly, or you can go onto our website and get information about RSVPing through us. Our website, again, is pittsburghelderlaw.com. I am going to mention it. Thursday, December 1st at 10:30, Justin Ellis is going to be presenting Estate Planning with an Elder Law Focus at the McDonald Cecil Senior Center. Now, that's going to be closed to just members of that senior center alone, but I bring it up just to, again, let everybody know we love to do these community events. We're always getting out there. We can't stop talking about this stuff. So if your organization or your senior group or men's group, women's group is interested in having an attorney from Zachariah Brown come out to talk about elder law topics, we're more than happy to. Visit our website or call the office at 724-942-6200 and talk to somebody about setting up an event for your group.
You know, I've had people say to me, you know, Rob, you're a baby boomer. I'm a baby boomer. Our parents and grandparents didn't have to deal with all of this stuff. Well, guess what? This isn't that time anymore. This is a completely different landscape, is it not? People need to understand this isn't law that was being looked at 50, 60 years ago. This is stuff that you need to know in real time in 2022.
Absolutely. I think we get that all the time about, well, when I went through this with my grandmother, you know, we just called and said, hey, I'm the granddaughter. Give me, you know, I'm going to sign her checks now because she can't. I mean, that was okay. You know, that's not okay in this day and age. We didn't, you know, talk about powers of attorney yet. But, you know, in addition to those estate planning documents for all ages, but when we're talking about those young marrieds, powers of attorney are so incredibly important too, because we don't have any inherent right. Just because we get married doesn't mean that we can make decisions for each other, or we can have access to our each other's private accounts or individual accounts. And so many of us in this day and age, our net worth is tied to our retirement accounts. Those are individual retirement accounts, and they can only be accessed by us as the individual. We have to give authority to somebody else to access them.
PittsburghElderLaw.com. We'll talk to Joyce in Greenfield in just a moment. We'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. All right. Colleen Brakovich is here, and we are ready to go right back to the phones. Here is Joyce in Greenfield on Zachariah Brown, Law for the Elderly, KDK Radio. Hi, Joyce.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am
Hi,
good.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. I have a rather unusual, maybe unusual question. I have a brother in assisted living in Massachusetts, in fact, who, because of his disabilities, he's there full-time and is receiving full-time care. I have a sister in Florida who's in, she's in independent living, and I'm in Pennsylvania. What kind of an effect should I think about in terms of preparing my will? I have a special needs trust for my brother.
Okay. So that's great. You're already ahead of the game there. So that was going to be the first thing I was going to talk about. You probably would want to, although your sister's just in independent living, it's not going to hurt anything just to put standard language for any beneficiary in your will that a special needs trust could be created on their behalf. So we put that in all of our wills, regardless of whether or not the person maybe has somebody that they know of who is disabled or maybe receiving government-provided services and supports. But we just put a blanket statement in there that just says, if at the time of my death, any beneficiary that I have may be receiving, you know, Medicaid, Social Security, government-provided services or supports, that I empower my executor to set that money aside for them in a special needs trust instead of leaving it outright to them. That way you just cover your bases so that if, yes, your sister in independent living right now is fine, and 10 years from now, maybe she is getting Medicaid assistance to live. You know, in Pennsylvania, we don't have Medicaid for assisted living, but lots of states do.
I know, and we don't, because I've looked at that.
Yeah, but lots of states do. And so she might be getting or Medicaid-provided home care or, you know, to have a caregiver come into her independent living apartment.
Doesn't have that yet, because we talked about that.
Yeah. So just because, unfortunately, things may happen in your life that affect your ability to change your will. You know, right now, yes, if something happened to your sister and she moved into some sort of, you know, higher level of care, yes, you could just go back and change your will to make sure that she also has a special needs trust. But if something happens, and like I said, it's 10 years from now, and your sister moves into assisted living and she's getting Medicaid assistance, and you now lack the capacity to execute a new will, and you can't change your will, then we have no option. When you pass away, she's going to inherit from you, and now she's getting it outright, and it's going to upset whatever benefits she's already getting.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
So we just put that in all of our wills. And then if you don't have anybody who's disabled, well, it just gets skipped over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's something. And just talking about inheritance taxes before, I just wanted to bring it up because sometimes people ask this question. It's where the decedent lives. So although your brother lives in Massachusetts, and I'm not quite sure off the top of my head about their inheritance taxes, but I know for a fact that Florida doesn't have inheritance taxes. Your sister would still have to pay them because it's based on where the decedent dies. So where you pass away, she would still pay inheritance taxes.
All right. Listen, Joyce, if you want to make a follow-up with the office, and I highly urge that maybe you might want to, 724-942-6200, 724-942-6200, McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, Bradenton, and Pompano Beach, Florida for you snowbirds. Joyce, thank you. Listen, we're getting down to the final segment and a half, but a very brisk day as far as the phone lines. If you have a question for Attorney Brakovich, now is the time to call, 866-391-1020, focusing a lot on wills and trust and estate planning today. Here is Peter in Newcastle on KDKA. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Colleen. How you doing?
Hi, Peter.
Hey, a quick question for you. I have a Parent Plus loan, a federal U.S. Department of Education Parent Plus loan. But it's just in my name. If I pass before my wife does, is she responsible for that? Is the estate responsible for that? Or does that go away because I passed away?
So student loans are their own bird. You'll probably need to double check specifically to the loan, but I'm fairly certain that that just gets forgiven at your death. Just because by the nature, student loans are discharged at death. So I don't think that that's going to transfer over to your wife. If you just took it out in your own name, I don't know if you perhaps signed something when you took it out that she was a co-signer on it or a secondary owner of the loan. But if not, debt, you know, any debts in general would only have to be satisfied by just your probate estate, which if you were the first to die and you and your wife hold mostly everything jointly and she's the beneficiary, there may not be any assets available to pay any debts. But student loans are special in that they typically are discharged at death.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
Colleen.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for the call. 866-391-1020. So to kind of wrap up wills, what are some of the most poignant things we need to know?
So everybody should have some basic estate planning documents, regardless of age. Our wills are our place for us to be able to appoint who is an executor for us, who's going to handle our affairs when we pass away, where our assets are to go. You know, we want to make sure that if we are young and married, that we are allocating what's to go to our parents and what's to go to our spouse based on what we choose, not what the government is saying who gets it. We only got to talk about it briefly, but I do want to, again, mention powers of attorney. So young folks, everybody over the age of 18 needs that power of attorney. Even when we're not young and married and we're just young, our parents can't make decisions for us or have access to information about us, sign our checks or handle our affairs if we become disabled or incapacitated. So those basic estate planning documents are for everybody. But we do want to also take into consideration the things that may happen down the road. We just, you know, we're talking with Joyce about, you know, she has siblings who are, I'm assuming, that's why she asked the question, her beneficiaries under her will. And they are starting to get older and they have needs of their own. And we don't want to mess up any sort of government benefits that they might be receiving. So we want to put special language in our wills to account for that. Along those lines, we also put language in all of our wills just to account for the fact that our spouse might be requiring long-term care at the time of our death, and that we can set that money aside for them as well, so it's not going to upset any benefits they might be receiving.
All right, Medicaid qualifications, some of the things that we need to know, and especially with the price now, $14,000 a month when it comes to nursing home care, what do we need to know when it comes to qualifying for Medicaid?
Well, the short answer is always don't assume you're not eligible. You know, I think that that's the place where people go wrong is that, well, I have assets, I have money, I'm not going to be eligible for Medicaid. And that might be true, that be based on the assets and that you have, you're not eligible for Medicaid. But we can be putting together a plan to get you financially eligible for Medicaid. So many folks wait until it's too late. They wait until the money is gone. You know, I took this phone call the other day in the office, and I have to laugh a little bit because the guy was kind of getting upset with me on the phone, and he said, Carl Zachariah always says on the radio that you could always help. But the problem is that you have to still have some money left. I mean, we can protect your money if you still have it. But if you have written the check month after month and paid that nursing home bill month after month after month, and it's gone, we cannot get that money back for you. So, yes, Carl's not lying. We can always help, but we can help so much more when you still have assets or income.
But you know, Carl also says spend your money while you're alive too, but not that money.
That's right.
But he says have fun with your money for sure. Yeah. All right, listen, McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, where they're located here, and of course if you're on that Odyssey app, Bradenton, Pompano Beach, Florida for snowbirds who will be headed there. Carl's actually licensed in Florida. 724-942-6200. We have another segment plus 2 minutes left. If you want to call in, now would be a great time. We've got some available space on the phone lines, 866-391-1020. Here's Barb in Ross on KDKA for attorney Colleen Brackovich from Zachariah Brown. Barb, go ahead.
Hi. I was calling regarding the inheritance tax. There is no inheritance tax in Florida. And I was wondering how long you have to live there in order for that to actually happen. Say, I live in Pennsylvania now, but I was going to move to Florida.
Yeah. So you just have to be a resident. So Florida has something called an affidavit of domicile, okay?
Okay.
So because, you know, especially sometimes folks, too, maybe they live in Florida, but they have to come back to Pennsylvania to stay here with a child, you know, as they get older and they can't take care of themselves. But they still want to keep their Florida residency for that reason. So you file an affidavit of domicile in the county in which you reside in Florida.
Okay.
And then now things like real estate where they're physically situated matter. So even if you become a Florida resident, if you have a home in Pennsylvania and it's, you know, situated here in Pennsylvania, there will still be inheritance tax to pay on that.
Okay.
Just because it's physically situated here. Right. But if you move your bank accounts and, you know, get yourself established as a Florida resident, change your driver's license, change your voter registration, all of those things that go to prove that you intend Florida to be your home. And then, you know, that should establish your residency there.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Short break. We'll come back on the other side. Tell them again what Christine's going to be doing.
Okay. So Christine is going to be at the Upper St. Clair Library this Wednesday, November 30th at 6 p.m. Estate planning with an elder law focus, everything you need to know. You can RSVP directly to the library or visit our website at PittsburghElderLaw.com.
She is managing partner of Zachariah Brown, along with Carl Zachariah and Christine Brown Murphy. Colleen Brackovich. We've got one more segment left. We're getting some calls. If you want to jump in here, feel free. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Don't forget that very interactive website, PittsburghElderLaw.com. The word elder, E-L-D-E-R, is written out. And, of course, their phone number is 724-942-6200. All right, let's go right back to the phones on Zachariah Brown for attorney Colleen Brackovich. Here is Gordon in Punxsutawney. Hi, Gordon.
Good afternoon. Real quick, I don't buy this whole inheritance tax by the state on things that I earn that I give to family. My question is, what amount of a gift can I give to a relative, like a great niece or a niece, per year without worrying about taxes on it?
Okay, so Pennsylvania inheritance taxes function a little bit differently from the federal estate tax, okay? So the federal estate tax that I was talking about before, where you don't start paying until the 12 million plus mark, okay? So under the IRS, you can give away $16,000 per person this year. Okay. And you don't have to tell the IRS about it. Now, if you go over that, so if you say give away $116,000 and then you're only exempt for the 16, you have to tell the IRS that you gave away that gift and they will deduct that $100,000 from your 12 million. Okay.
So
you're still not paying any taxes. It's just that you're reporting it to the IRS. Okay.
Well, I'm 76, and what I want to do is start giving every member of, like, my niece, my great niece, and everything a certain amount per year without paying taxes. So you're saying at the present time, I can give any person $16,000 a year without worrying about gift tax?
Well, again, that's the federal gift tax. But yes, okay. So now for Pennsylvania inheritance tax, there is a one-year look back on gifts. So if you give assets away, okay, and then you die within the year, they are still going to pay inheritance taxes on that transfer.
And that's 15% on niece and great-nieces.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Man, you really have to be up to speed on this stuff, don't you? I mean, one wrong move. I mean, you got to really be plugged in.
Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes, too, it's just that people sometimes get concerned about the wrong thing. So, you know, as much as we're talking about inheritance taxes today and ways to avoid it, and, you know, Gordon's talking about he's going to give away money every single year so they don't have to pay inheritance taxes. But, you know, it's apples and oranges. For Pennsylvania Medicaid, the gift threshold is $500. So although, yes, you can give away $16,000 and not report it to the IRS, if you give away $16,000, you have made a gift for Pennsylvania Medicaid purposes. So, yeah, at 76, maybe he doesn't have to be as concerned about it. But 5 years from now, when he's, you know, 81, maybe there's going to be more likelihood that nursing home care might be breathing down his neck. And so if you've been giving away money to all these individuals for all these years, you might have a problem trying to qualify for Medicaid. So gifting is great. You know, I love to be able to help clients give money to their family, but it has to be part of a plan. We can't do it in a bubble, not thinking about, okay, yeah, we're avoiding the Pennsylvania inheritance tax, but what about the nursing home care? You know, $100,000 gift, you just saved them $15,000 on inheritance taxes. Okay, but it's $15,000 a month in a nursing home. So if you made yourself ineligible for nursing home care for 7 months because of a $100,000 gift, you lost a whole lot more than what they're going to have to pay in the inheritance taxes.
So many, many years ago, you know, in that 30 bracket and thinking you know everything with friends and the adult members of the community that I grew up with, the person said, I'm just going to spend it all, live life to the fullest, and I'm not worrying about retirement, probably won't live past 75. And everybody kept talking. All of a sudden, one of the elder statesmen in the room simply said, but what happens if you do live? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody sometimes banks on the fact, but the last time I checked, how many people do you know that are in their 90s?
So many. I mean, this week alone, I can think about the clients that I met with in the office. I met with somebody who was 96. We're going to apply for VA benefits. I met with somebody who's 94. We're going to apply for VA benefits.
How satisfying is that, though? Somebody at 96 and they're like, this is like finding a gold, you know, supply that I didn't know that I had, you know, money under the mattress. That's got to be so satisfying.
It is. It's great to be able to help families figure out ways to stretch their health care dollar and figure out how they're going to be able to afford to take care of somebody at home so they don't have to put them in a facility. Because at the end of the day, none of us want to go to a facility, you know. But if you don't have money, you don't have any options.
Why do you think people, and you're a young woman in the early stages of motherhood and marriage and all that good stuff, a managing partner at this great law firm, why do you think people are living so much longer today? Is it research, medicine, nutrition?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is our health care, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're living better. You know, we might be living longer, but are we living any better? We've figured out a way to prolong, you know, stave off disease, stave off heart attacks, manage diabetes so that people are able to live a longer life. But it doesn't always necessarily mean that it's better.
Well, and here's the thing, too. We don't work. Listen, at least my generation, who was a part of that greatest generation, I saw what my parents did. We were talking during the break.
Yeah.
My mother, God rest her soul, every single day, meals from scratch, cleaning. I said to you, I've been a bachelor now for a decade plus. First time in my life, sad to say, but doing laundry, scrubbing floors, stripping beds, washing sheets. I mean, pledging, running the sweeper. There's so much, washing windows. I mean, I have no, and I'm not cooking food for anybody. So those wonderful folks that raised us, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, really worked hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say we close on a happy note today? It's the nuptials of Mr. Zachariah's beautiful daughter, his future son-in-law. And I have a daughter of my own. And all I know is I hope he is standing and not in a puddle of water from tears when this thing is over. I will not be there for the wedding, but I'll be there later tonight. I got to take care of some little business and head back to Beaver County, then come back into Pittsburgh. But this is a very incredible day for he and his lovely bride, and obviously their son, their family, all those wonderful lawyers and your spouses and family, and the hundreds of people that I'm sure will be there because of Carl's great relationship with so many people, along with his wife and family members throughout the tri-state. It's a day to remember, and it's his only daughter, and I only have one, so very sentimental day.
Absolutely. So we hope Gabby and Ray have beautiful weather, so it's going to be a beautiful day. We're very excited.
You know, that's one of the things that I thought about when the sun was kind of shining through earlier today. I said, you know, if you get good weather for your wedding, that's the first step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
All right, tell them what Christine's going to be doing. Tell them about the law firm, what they need to know, and then I'll tell them how they can get in touch with you. We got about a minute left.
All right.
So go ahead, Colleen.
Okay, so last time, Wednesday, November 30th, 6 p.m., Upper St. Clair Library, estate planning with an elder law focus, everything you need to know. Again, feel free to reach out and have us come and speak to your group. Check out our website, pittsburghelderlaw.com. You'll have access to some of our previously recorded presentations if maybe you can't make it out, but you're still interested in getting the information. So you can definitely find us there. Call the office.
At 724. I know. It's been a long day for everyone. 724-942-6200. I'll see you later.
I'll see you, Rob.
And listen, because I have this platform, I will simply say to Gabby and Raymond and to both families, nothing but marital bliss moving forward, the first step of the rest of your life, and may God bless both of you for a very long time to come. So proud to have an opportunity to break a little bread with the Zachariah family and, of course, Raymond's family later today. I'll see you there.
I'll see you there.
Have a great day, everybody. 1 o'clock news coming up next. David Ballarato, KDKA, 100.1 FM, AM 1020.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.